That sneeze just sounded like you were almost getting murdered, just so you know.
Oh.
Like someone was attacking you. Bless you.
I have really violent sneezes.
That would have scared the shit out of me if I was in the same room with you.
Yeah. Okay, wait. All right, ready?
Yes.
Hey, you guys. No, that's stupid. Hey, you guys. This is Michelle and... No, this is stupid. Let me try.
We have to keep all of this. Okay, quiet.
Hey, you guys, before we start the show, really, really important, okay? In exactly, well, 2 weeks and almost a little over two weeks.
We are doing a meetup.
What?
Vaguely 2 weeks.
Vaguely. No, it's more than 2 weeks.
I'm saying we don't know when they're listening to this.
No, we do know when they're listening to this. It's going to go out on the next one.
Not everybody listens to it on the day it's released.
Oh, that's right. Okay, all right. Anyway.
We're going to Boston. March 30th, 2019.
In a little over 2 weeks, we will be in Boston, Massachusetts, and we want to meet you in person at a meetup. We're going to go have a drink. We're going to say hi. We're going to talk to you, and we want to know if you can make it. So this is what we're thinking.
Yes, well, it's a Saturday, so yeah. It's the day before we're going to be at the WED Experience event. So it's a Saturday in Boston, March 30th, and we're going to have the meetup at 1:30. And we've heard from some of you. We're really excited to meet you. We would love for more of you to let us know if you're going to be there. And then we'll give you details, the exact location, and if anything changes. But 1:30, March 30th, in the city of Boston. Drinks will be happening.
Yeah. So email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're following us on Instagram, you can send us a DM. Just let us know whether or not you can make it to our meetup at 1:30 on Saturday, March 30th, 2019 in Boston. And don't forget, we're going to be at WED.
We're going to be at WED and we're going to be on stage a lot. And we're going to be live recording. And I think we're going to look cute. Right, Michelle?
Oh, I already got a cute outfit. I'm so excited.
You know, she got her outfit before I got mine. So now mine has to coordinate, not clash, not vice versa. I see what you did there.
Well, I'm doing all black. So it's easy.
Great.
It's easy. Yeah.
So go to experienceWED.com and check out the lineup and the schedule and see all the things that are going to be there. And tickets. There's a link to buy tickets on the website and they are available. And they're probably going to stop selling them on March 15th. So head over there now and get your tickets for WED, experienceWED.com in Boston.
It's going to be awesome. We hope to see you all in Boston. Thank you so much. Enjoy this episode.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us as usual.
You put your hands on your hips. You're like, thank you so much.
Wherever you are in the world. I'm stretching. I'm sitting Indian style on the floor.
Oh.
It's going to last like 5 minutes maybe before
you start getting the pins and needles. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's natural for them to fall asleep. You're cutting the blood
flow. Went to Skype you today, it said we haven't talked in 23 days.
That's not true.
But we haven't Skyped in that long because we haven't recorded together.
I know.
Remotely.
We've been in person.
Yeah. That's crazy that we got to see so much of each other.
I know. I loved it. It's so
not
cool.
Not too much. Just enough.
Just enough. So, and then it was like, before we got sick of each other, it was done. We're like, whew. All right.
It's so much work though now because we have all these interviews stacked up. So you have to...
you have to just go through like the archives at this point. We've never had this many interviews like in our back pocket. So that's excellent.
I know. I'm kind of like, okay, which one do we do next? Like what makes sense? And it's really nice because sometimes we're scrambling, you guys. Sometimes like it'll be like Friday and we'll be like, what the fuck? What are we going to release on Wednesday? Christy, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. And then we just like come up.
There's an ongoing list of topics that we know you guys want to hear about. We have gotten emails and we know they're on our list. Things like diving into transportation or hotel blocks.
Frienders.
Frienders. But these, especially those first two, are episodes that we actually have to like prepare for a little bit more in terms of like homework and research and coming up with a pretty structured outline. And that's the part of this process between recording, promoting, editing, and running our own businesses that gets hard to fit in.
You're just throwing it all out there. You're just telling everything.
Because I'm telling you, like, we have to do one about transportation. Yes. I hate dealing with transportation on the wedding days. I hate it. It's my least favorite thing.
It's a pain.
I hate putting it in the timeline. I hate talking about it. So I don't like, I'm like not dreading doing that, but I'm procrastinating because it's like, oh, I'd way rather talk about Frienders.
Yeah.
Or something that's like more conversational. We know we have to put out like the more, we talk about like the learning episodes where we don't have a guest, but it's like very, you know, get your notepads out, everyone.
Yeah, diving deep.
10 hints about how best to book a shuttle bus. You see how that just is like a shuttle bus, but we're going to do it and you're going to love it and you're going to thank us that we did it. I just am telling you my inner process right now is like, oh, we really need to do one about transportation. So we'll get on that.
I'm a little sore. You know what I did? I did. Have you done acupuncture?
Yes.
Okay. Have you done cupping?
No. Did you do it?
Yes. I did it. I did acupuncture. And then as soon as she was done putting all those needles in me, which I hate, some people don't, it doesn't affect them. I get those needles and there's always this, what she'll like, they'll put them in and then they kind of move them for a second. And there's this freaking annoying, like, I can't deal with the feeling. But I did it because I really needed it for my neck. Because you guys, I have or I had two herniated discs in my neck. I got hit by a banana boat.
Okay, what?
In Mazatlan on vacation.
If I had a nickel for every time I've said that.
Every time I said that. I know. Every freaking time I go to the doctor, they're like, write down what happened. I got hit with the banana boat on my head. Anyway. Yeah, my brother was a little shithead. We had a lot of fun. But anyway, so I did the acupuncture, and then the lady's like, okay, now, we're going to come in and we're going to do massage. I'm like, okay. And she's like, so you're going to do cupping. I'm like, oh, I've heard of that. Like, I've seen people with those bruises, those big circles.
They're like giant hickeys, right?
They're like giant hickeys. Yeah. They're huge. And he was like, I was like, oh, you know, it was like, kind of painful. And then at the same time, I'm like, this is doing something. I know it.
You hope.
And it's so I look like I've been beaten really badly on my back, but I'm a little sore, but I think it did something.
Well,
I hope it did.
It could be magical thinking that you really want it to have done something.
I really want to feel better.
You went through needles and cup hickeys. So
I know. I literally got tortured so I could feel better.
Good luck and Godspeed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Moving on to a much more exciting topic.
I want to see your back after this, by the way.
Okay.
We can do that in the privacy of our own two-way conversation if you want.
Yeah. I don't want Keith looking at my back.
Because right now.
You don't want to see that, Keith.
I do want to see it. We have a guest with us on the podcast. It doesn't have anything to do with Eastern medicine as far as we know. Maybe he does. He could have that side hobby as well. So I'm going to read. Oh, I think the dog in here just
farted.
Oof. Yeah. He's the worst. He's so smelly. Okay. So I've never had a dog before.
Where is it? That's lovely.
I know. Okay.
Enjoy that.
Ay, 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 za. So I want to preface this with when this guest, Keith King, that's tricky, reached out to us and emailed us about being on the show. I was admittedly very interested myself because I personally, this will like help me as well. And I'm not planning a wedding. So here's the blurb. Keith King is quickly rising the ranks as a blogger and freelance writer. He's also a licensed pilot, a world traveler, and a TV news executive by trade. On KeithKingReport.com, that's his blog and website, you'll find Keith's experiences with travel, budgets, and getting the most out of credit card points, which is what we're talking about today. Keith's first book, Cracking the Code to Travel Hacking, was published in November of 2017, and it's a great read if you're interested in jumping into the world of travel hacking with credit cards. When Keith isn't writing for himself or other publications around the country, he's probably drinking coffee. Me too, my friend. Welcome to the pod, Keith King.
Thank you very much, Michelle and Christy. How are you guys? I'm excited to be here.
I'm good. Christy might be suffocating there a little
bit. I'm good. No, I'm good. It's like the windows are open. The
smell's gone.
Yeah. You know, that's good. They're quick and smelly and they're gone fast, but I'm good. And I'm into this. Like, I feel like I introduced you like it was a game show because it's like we're talking about something that's, I hope that we'll all be able to like walk away after this podcast, after you're listening to this podcast with like actual action items to attack. And,
that you can implement now.
Or
and
rethink.
That's kind of what I'm hoping. I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you guys and talking miles and points and travel hacking, and hopefully we can educate the masses out there.
Yes. So jumping in, when we talked on the phone, it's kind of narrowing in on these credit cards that many of us don't know much about, and where do you even start? Yeah. But credit cards that have incentives or points attached to them. That's what you mean when you say credit card hacking.
That's
getting
correct.
The most out
so,
of.
Exactly. So there are basically three main types of credit cards that you can use for travel hacking. There's airline branded cards, hotel branded cards, and then there's the general points and dollar cards that you can use. So the airline cards, I mean, you know, you got the Delta SkyMiles credit card that you can get. You got your American Airlines Advantage credit card, United Mileage Plus, Southwest Rapids Rewards, all of the, you know, basically every airline has their own credit card that you can apply for. And if you get it, start spending on it and you'll get that particular airline's card, points and miles.
I feel like...
And very similar... So, yeah, go on.
Oh, I feel like the airline ones is kind of cut and... It should be kind of cut and dry. You spend money with the card... You get points to spend on airline tickets. But if you spend money at a restaurant with your American Airlines cards, you get points. But if you spend money on an American Airlines ticket with your American Airlines card, you get double, triple, whatever, more points.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So specifically for the American Airlines card, you get 2 points per dollar or 2 miles per dollar for American Airlines purchases, and I think you get 2 points per dollar with gas stations and restaurants as well, and then 1 point per dollar on everything else.
What about, okay, this is the immediately what I think about is that every friggin' store I go to and go shopping at, every time I check out, hi, do you have a, are you interested in opening up a Target credit card today and saving 10%? Like every store. And inevitably, I've opened a few of them. Like finally they get me. I'm like, fine, I've shopped here enough. Fine, I'll get one, you know. But are those, is it all bullshit? I mean, is there any, are there real benefits to that, Keith?
So there are, but not as much as you probably think. For example, I would say one of the best, like, store brand credit cards out there is Target.
Okay, why?
Well, because you, I think it's, I think, I don't have one, but from what I've heard, you get like 5 or 10% off for every purchase, which is from what I mean, you can buy everything at Target pretty much too, as far as I know. So
yeah. So it's every time you use it, you get a discount?
Right there on the receipt, it shows it. Yeah. And I have a Target, but it's a debit card. So it's...
And that's attached to your
checking
account.
Right, attached to the check. Correct? Yeah, and so that gets me the 5%, but it doesn't like... You're not like banking anything. It's just 5% of coupon
right then.
Well, 5%, but that's $10, you know, if you're spending $200 and if you are buying diapers or whatever, that adds up fast.
That's true.
But I got the debit card because I didn't want the credit card because I remember it was like I was asked about the credit card at a time that we were thinking about buying a house and we'd already turned in like half the paperwork. This was like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Which I do want to talk about almost like at the top of this episode with Keith, like reasons maybe why you shouldn't get a credit card or you need to stay away from this.
Yeah.
But at that time, the more credit cards you apply for to open up, I had heard could affect your credit in a way that might look bad. And, you know, you're trying to like account for all the money you have and all that stuff when you're making a big purchase like a house or a car. So I did the debit instead, but I still get 5% off every time I shop there. But do tell us about, like, before you even listen to this episode, all of you out there thinking, great idea, I'll go get an American Airlines credit card. There are pitfalls to any credit card and hacking. So who's ideal for this and who needs to do some other things before they start?
Yeah, there certainly is some people that do not want to apply for credit cards. And those, in general... are people who are massively in credit card debt.
What counts as massively? $10,000 that's been on your card for a year?
If you are more than... Yeah, that would definitely count for massive. If you can't pay off your credit card debt within a cycle or two, then I would say hold off until you can reach that point, and then you can start applying. So if you're over $1,000... two, three, four, and up in credit card debt, hold off, start paying off your credit card debt. And there are various ways you can do that. We can talk about some of them if you want. But start paying off your credit card debt. And once you get to maybe, I have one more payment and then I'll be credit card debt free. Then you can start doing this travel hacking. But before that, it's not worth it. It really is.
Because with all of these great incentives, if you use them the right way, you really can pay for your honeymoon potentially with points between a hotel and a flight.
Yes.
That is possible. But they also have high interest rates. And if you're spending a lot during wedding planning, which is what we're talking about, and you've put down payments for the DJ, the venue, catering, all on a card, and your income is not going up and you cannot pay those cards off in full every month, then it's not worth the points or the free flights that you're going to get later because of the penalties.
That's correct. Because you're getting charged probably over 20% interest, and the rewards you're getting aren't worth that. They're worth, you know, at the most probably between 5% and 10%. So that's...
Oh, that's a good rule of thumb. That's good to know.
So that's how, and that is how most credit card companies make most of their money, is with the debt that people owe them.
Right. So ideally, if you, let's say American, because that's the card that I have, and I'm trying to figure it out.
I have that one too.
My brother's boyfriend is, and he sometimes listens to the podcast. Hey, you know who you are.
Yeah.
He is like a savant with the miles and credit card. He's like platinum, whatever. One time he and his twin brother flew all the way from the East Coast to Alaska and back round trip just to get enough miles on their whatever to qualify for the next level. Because he knew, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
He's I can't believe we're doing this, but it's the only way I'm going to get this trip to Vietnam or Australia or wherever he and Alex were going next. it's the only way I'll be able to be in business class with him was the idea. If he spends the money to fly to Alaska for one, I mean, they stayed in a hotel, they flew
and
back.
That kind of thing. I don't know if I would like spending money
to get money. Yeah, I know. It's a weird.
Yeah. To get money that doesn't, that's not what I'm to.
I think that was recommend
at all. I would
an extreme move.
But there are certainly some people that do that, and that's their own prerogative. And as long as they like doing that, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You can't, if you have the money, I say go for it, because you'll just get more bang for your buck
like
that way.
I wanted to start the American thing because we just moved from Dallas here, and I knew I would be flying back mm-hmm. for all my weddings, and I was going to be buying the tickets anyways. So I got the card, but then I sort of panicked. Like, here I am, I'm using the card and I'm paying it off. But do I need to be like checking my points balance? Do I need to make sure that there's not blackout dates, or like I have to use them within 6 months? I started to feel like maybe this is too much work to get my free flight to Hawaii.
No.
But then I looked online and I had gotten those 60,000 incentive ones, you know?
Yep. Yep. So the currently the American Airlines credit card has a bonus of 40,000 miles after you spend 2,000 in the first 3 months, and then you get 10,000 more after you spend a total of 6,000 in the first year. Okay, so that's 50,000 total for your bonus. And the cool thing about an American Airlines card and United and all of these bigger airlines is they fly everywhere. They fly to Hawaii, they fly to Europe, they fly to South America.
So there's Asia. A lot of options.
They fly everywhere.
You're thinking about paying for your honeymoon.
A ton of options. So that 50,000, 60,000 miles that you have can basically get you anywhere. So for example, let's say you just get married and you want to take your honeymoon to in Europe, like in Paris. I looked this up. You can fly directly from DFW to Paris nonstop on American. So it's very simple. You just take your American Airlines points or miles and use
which
them
is an option
instead of cash
to purchase
to get. Yep.
Okay.
You can.
Yeah, right on the website.
It's very straightforward on the website. You just log into your account, use miles instead of points. And next thing you know, you're off.
It's
to
a
Paris
regular
nonstop.
Ticket, just like you bought it with
that
your
flight,
card.
Regular ticket in economy. So you can get, for 60,000 American Airlines miles, you can get 2 tickets to Europe in economy. That will save you over
$3,500. And you have to stick to the rules that they put out there when you apply for the card, like spending 2,000 and paying it off within the first 3 months. But if you're planning your wedding, what's 2,000? I mean, like 2,000, you're booking vendors and you're buying engagement rings and the shoes you want to wear, it does start to add up. Yeah. So with a little bit of planning ahead of time, you can get free flights to Paris. This is not a scam. So this is not cheating. It is legit.
I applied for, we'll get into the general points and miles transferable cards in a minute, but that's exactly kind of what I did when I was planning my or helping plan my wedding. My now wife did most of it. Hi, honey. I applied for a Chase credit card and basically one venue payment, I knocked out the minimum, and it was so easy. So yeah, you know, if you do this right, if you plan accordingly, you can easily meet the minimum and get those 50,000 American Airlines or whatever, Hyatt, whatever points, you know, you
rental car.
Yeah,
I use mine rental car. I saw that you had on the Chase Reserve is one of the best.
Yeah.
Credit cards.
Yeah.
Right?
Chase Reserve is a really, Chase Reserve is one of my favorite ones. Now, it is on the slightly more expensive side. So I went, as a beginner, I wouldn't start with that one. But if you kind of dip your toe into this travel hacking game and then you're like, you know, I really like this, I want another credit card, that one would be a good one to get.
I think part of when you're planning, let's say you have 9 months of wedding planning and then you're going on your honeymoon, looking at that kind of timeline, because you have to spend a certain amount, a minimum, in a certain amount of time and pay it off, it would be, if you can kind of schedule out when you get the credit cards, it would be easier to then pay them off with the income you know you have or the money you know you have coming in, which you might have to do anyways if it's like we booked our caterers, so we need to pay off a little bit of that before we book our DJ. Mm-hmm. But I also know people who get the credit card to begin with because they don't have the funds available. And we need to schedule all these vendors, so we're just going to have credit card debt to start our marriage. That's just what we're going to have to do. That won't work for and points.
And, you know, that, no, it won't work for points. It'll get you through the wedding planning process, right? But it's not going to work for travel hacking because...
Well, but you still get the points. You will if you
still
spend
get
it.
The points, yes.
You don't?
No, no,
yeah,
you will.
You still you get
will.
It if you spend it, as long as you're keeping up your minimum payments, which you really should not be making minimum payments. You should be making more than that, right, Keith?
Yeah.
That's the thing I want to make sure that we're telling everybody. And Keith, you can give the nice little, you know, warning statement here too. Like, you can get in a lot of trouble doing this if you don't have the money.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Can you talk?
As a
Can you just like say that right now to everyone?
Yeah, if you start applying for these credit cards with over 20% interest and you just make the minimum, you're going to get yourself in a shitload of trouble.
Yes.
And do not do that. Do not look at you get these little mailer things for, you know, the Citi American Airlines card or the Southwest card or whatever. And it's like, oh, I want to do that and go here and do and all these points and I can travel for free. But if you cannot pay off your credit card, if you cannot pay more than the minimum at the very least, then you're next thing you know, you're going to be so far up Schitt's Creek. It won't even be funny.
Can you talk about statement balance versus current balance versus minimum payment?
Yeah.
Because I don't know that a lot of people, because we use statement balance. We pay our statement balance every month.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Correct. So the statement balance is what you, put on for that statement, that, you know, 25 days. The credit card balance is what you have overall. So if you have, let's say, let's just do 2 months here. So if you, or two statements, if you have one statement that's $1,000 and, and then you pay $500 of that. And then the second statement is another $1,000 and you don't pay any of that yet. Right now, your credit card balance is $1,500 with two different statements. So you have one, $1,500, you paid off half of the statement balance for one of them and none for the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, well, the way that I understand, and this is because my husband, he did all this research too. He said, if you pay the statement balance, it's what the balance was at the end, at the closing of the last statement, right? So like when you pay the statement balance, you're not going to be paying any interest. Essentially.
Yes.
It's like the minimum you need to pay to not pay the interest, the statement balance.
That's correct.
That's how it makes sense in my mind. I'm like, ooh, we're not paying interest.
Correct.
But we're not paying the total due at this moment.
Right. And now that, yeah, if you, because a lot of the time you will start spending on the credit card before you get the statement in the mail or in before it renews. So then the balance on the credit card goes up on you log online and it goes up, but your statement balance says something different, right? So it's kind of like the credit card statements. Yeah, it's kind of if you can keep it up to where you pay off your statement balance every statement period, you'll be fine, and you can always carry some sort of, it'll be a low balance, but it'll be some sort of balance. As long as you can keep that up, that'll be fine. Because, yeah, then you won't be paying any interest. You'll be reaping the rewards of having that travel credit card.
Miles, yeah.
And you'll be just fine. But a lot of the time, what ends up happening is you'll forget, especially if you don't automatically set up some sort of payment system, you're like, oh shoot, I have a payment that was due yesterday.
There's an additional 20% on top of that.
And then next thing you know, there's
a late fee.
So you just got to be careful if you're going to do that, because it could catch up to you at some point. Because we're all busy and we have our own lives, and paying bills isn't exactly fun.
And there is, you know, everyone's income, it comes in differently, whether you know, maybe you get a lot of tips or like my husband gets a quarterly bonus. So we kind of know, you know, oh, if we can't pay it all off this month, I know kind of a boost or a bump is coming next month. Or if you're wedding planning and you're doing this, you know, some of this on your card, and your parents are helping you and they said, okay, after Christmas, we're going to give you $5,000 and that's part that can go to whatever you want. If it's that kind of situation, as long as you're smart about not just what you're purchasing, but when you're purchasing it, knowing when you can pay it off. Because like Keith mentioned at the beginning, you saved yourself $3,500 by going to Paris for two people round trip on American because you used your points. But that $3,500 that's not worth anything if you ended up $30,000 in debt after wedding planning because you had multiple credit cards and you weren't keeping up and you were getting late fees and the interest. It sounds like interest is the scary
interest thing. Interest is the scary thing.
Okay.
So
interest is bad.
Interest is very bad. What I would recommend doing for people who, especially if you are just beginning the process of planning for your wedding, so you just got engaged, I would just sit down and make some sort of schedule of when you expect things to get done, when you expect to start making payments on the venue, when you expect to start, paying the photographer,
due dates might be outlined in the contracts that you're reviewing.
Exactly. And that way you have this in front of you and you can see a schedule of when things are due. And then you can also see, okay, well, if I have a $3,000 payment to the photographer that's due here, I can apply for a card a month earlier and then use that card to pay the photographer.
Because I know I have that money in my bank.
Exactly.
So I might as well pay with the card, get the points, instead of just writing the photographer a check.
Mm-hmm. And that process could save you the headache of kind of just flying by the seat of your pants and maybe missing out on some credit card points or something like that.
All right, guys, it's that time that we mention our sponsor for this episode, and that is Zola, Z-O-L-A, the wedding company that will do anything for love.
Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register, which is so fun, register for all the gifts that you want. You can join over 500,000 couples who have already used Zola, including many of my couples and clients and Michelle's couples and clients, because we always recommend them to help take the stress out of wedding planning with a free wedding website and your dream registry.
And the free wedding website is super easy to use. So many designs to choose from. Customize it. a style to fit everybody's taste. It's really easy, and you just takes minutes to set it up. There's an FAQ section, and your guests can find your wedding registry right there.
Speaking of the registry, like I said, this is the fun part. So go on to Zola.com and just scan their selection of gifts at all price points. There's something for every guest to give, and there's plenty of things for you and your partner to decide that you absolutely need in your home. Like from OXO and Cuisinart, Sonos, and Airbnb. And it's really cool that you can also have guests buy or contribute to a fund for your honeymoon, for a down payment on your house, or for just a gaggle of gift cards from Home Depot to Hulu and Delta.
And there's that completion discount. So you get 20% off any remaining gifts on your registry after you're married, whatever your guest didn't buy you. And you have $50 off with this code. Okay, ready? You're going to go to Zola.com/bigwedding, Zola.com/bigwedding to set up your free wedding website and get $50 off of your registry. Thank you so much, Zola. We love you.
So we talked about flights, and then there's hotels, just what, like Marriott. I know that Marriott is actually a lot more than just Marriott because they own all those other chains or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
So doing a little research Marriott, that way.
Marriott has a ton of hotels around the...
Ritz-Carlton.
Ritz-Carlton, yep. Marriott actually just bought SPG. So
no way. Yeah. They've got Starwood now.
Yep. They have Starwood. So they're Marriott and Starwood are one. They have combined themselves.
That's a lot of hotels, y'all. And I've worked at hotels before that if you're booking your wedding there, let's say just, I don't know, a hotel, you're doing your wedding there in the ballroom. You're also doing a room block for, you know, the guests that want to stay at a nicer hotel. And of course you want the wedding suite. A lot of times they're part of packages, so having to do with catering, room rentals, and the ballroom that you're renting. And they also give incentives for using the card that belongs to that hotel. So that's a good way to get like points on one end and the other. Like they'll upgrade you to a better suite maybe because you did a room block and you used a card.
Yeah, and then... you can turn around and use those points. So, you know, I'll give you a specific example that I worked up. So let's say you had your wedding at a Hyatt property, and you also got the card. So you got this bonus of like 60,000 Hyatt points.
Which card?
The World of Hyatt.
World of Hyatt. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you also had your wedding at the Hyatt property. So you worked out in the contract that you'd get a certain amount of points for all of that. You know, you can easily walk away with probably over 80,000 World of Hyatt points doing it that way. With that, let's say you mentioned Hawaii earlier. Let's say you're going to Kauai, the island of Kauai, where there's a grand, honeymoon. There's a Grand Hyatt there. With those 80,000 World of Hyatt points, you could stay for 3 nights for free. So 3 nights, 4 days at the Grand Hyatt in Kauai. And I looked it up.
Excellent.
It'll on probably a normal, maybe even low season room rate. So it could potentially save you more. But what I found is at least $1,600 that it'll save you. So the World of Hyatt credit card could save you $1,600 if that is what you want
to
do.
And it could make the difference between, you know, oh, we can only afford to take a 4-day honeymoon to, because we were kind of smart about these points and we got flights and hotel all figured out, we can actually do a 7-day honeymoon.
I mean, how many people do not take a honeymoon right after the wedding because they can't afford it because they paid for a wedding? I mean, this is a huge thing. My husband and I did it. We didn't take a honeymoon for 2 years after the wedding because we couldn't afford it.
Yeah, exactly. And doing this it's $1,600 right there that you could you don't need because you used the points from the credit card smartly. $1,600 that you could use that for the flight. No.
Yeah.
You could use that.
I mean, you're basically screwing yourself out of $1,600, yeah, people, if you're not doing
if you're
this.
Gonna spend anyway for your wedding and you have like money in the bank to pay off these statement balances, yeah, then it's definitely something to consider.
Okay, and what if you're not getting married at a Hyatt or a Starwood? You know, what do you do? Give us a very general credit card that you think somebody should get if they've got good credit, yeah, and they don't have a lot of debt and they're ready to get into this game.
They've got money to spend, you know,
step
here.
By step, Keith.
I have the perfect card for you. It is the Chase Sapphire Preferred.
That's the one I got. Yep.
So okay, with this one, listen to this.
There's an annual fee there.
There is an annual fee, $95, but it is waived the first year.
That's like 1 week of, yes, Amazon. That's like yeah, late night. Oh, I forgot to order.
So you get the Chase Sapphire. You get the Chase Sapphire. Go onto their website, right? You can go onto their website and apply for this. You
apply for the card.
Right away.
Right away. You would get, after 3 months and you spend $4,000, you would get 50,000 Chase Ultimate Rewards points.
Which are miles.
Which are miles. You can convert, yeah, them to miles. Or you can... So the Chase Sapphire Reserve is such a cool card because... And there are other cards like this. The Amex American Express Gold Card is very similar to this, for example. But... the Chase Sapphire is preferred. You can transfer to Chase's travel partners. What does that mean? You can transfer
everybody.
Yeah, I mean United.
Is it hard to do that?
Southwest. Okay. No, it's very easy.
It's so easy. Their website is awesome. Yeah.
Very easy, and they partner with a lot of hotels too. They Hyatt, IHG, which is they own Holiday Inn and Intercontinental, and Marriott as well. So that's just a few of their travel partners, but.
And can I add, yeah, it's a sexy looking card.
It is. It's metal. It's one of those heavy metal ones. So you can,
it's what?
You can, it's one of those metal ones.
Yeah.
So you can kind of beat on it and it'll, I mean, you, yeah, can, if you wanted, you could, you know, slap your fiance.
upside the head. I almost slapped Christy with it when we were in Nashville.
Throw it hard enough, it'll actually stick in the wall.
Yes, it will. It will.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. So having this card opens you up to a lot of options. So let's say catering. You will get 2 points per dollar from probably most caterers because you get 2 points per dollar from restaurants. If you're staying at a hotel for part of the week or the weekend of your wedding and you use this card, you will get 2 points per dollar for that hotel stay because you get 2 points per dollar for travel.
Well, a lot of people are doing destination weddings, Keith, have to travel before the wedding to go do meetings.
That's perfect. So then, yeah, you can use this for all of those purchases. You'll be racking up all of these points. And you could easily... With the bonus and then all the purchases on top of that, you could easily get 70,000, maybe even more than that in ultimate rewards.
So Chase Sapphire is the car preferred.
Chase Sapphire preferred.
Into
there's also
airline or hotels, yeah, or is there another, yep, way to spend points?
Or you can use
rental cars.
Yeah, you can use the ultimate rewards points through Chase's own. You can book travel through Chase, and that's perfectly fine too. You typically, not all the time, but you typically do get more bang for your buck if you transfer them. And I'll give you an example that I know well because I actually did it with the Chase Sapphire Preferred. My wife and I, not for our wedding, but this is about a year ago, we got the Preferred. And we used the points that we got for basically a free trip to Europe. We flied from Boston to Amsterdam, completely free. And it saved me about
$4,000. That was with
Chase. Okay.
Chase, so yeah. there's also standalone purchases with during the time you're planning your wedding, like a dress. So that's something that you're going to have to pay in full right there when you buy it. And if you use a Chase card, pay in full, go home, transfer the money from your checking account or your bank account to pay off your card. You get these points and you can kind of, I don't know, keep them in the back of your mind. Like, we're doing this, we're being smart about it.
Yeah.
But we know we can't take another week off after our wedding. So we'll just save until we actually can plan the honeymoon of our dreams. So they don't go anywhere. They don't expire. Yeah. You don't lose points as long as you still have the card.
As long as you're, for Chase specifically, as long as your account is open, you will not lose.
I think that was what points. I panicked about. Like, I knew I was spending the money and I was paying them off, but I thought, like, I don't know when I'm going to actually plan this trip to Hawaii. So I want to make sure, you know, I don't get some message online that's like, sorry, you know, points expired.
And if the cool thing is with them not expiring, if you can, if you know you're going to be traveling somewhere, you're just not 100% sure where, you can keep on using that credit card. The miles will pile up. And let's say this is like a once-in-a-lifetime trip and you're really looking for... You can use those points for like flying first class or business class or staying in a suite or something like that. Doing something kind of extra that you normally would not do. If you were paying cash.
Now, after that first year, Keith, the annual fee is more expensive. Because my husband and I were just talking about this. He's like, I don't know. We might need to just cancel that card. You know, transfer. If we have any balance, let's transfer it over to a new card that has another great introductory, you know, offer.
Yeah.
And then that way we're not paying that 400 something dollar because it goes up, right?
It does not go up. No, so the $95 annual fee will stay the same. No matter what.
Now, there is
the Chase Sapphire Reserve is $450 a year. That'll also stay the same, but if you have the same credit card, the annual fee will stay the same.
But that's expensive. That's a high annual fee, right?
That is. Now,
okay.
For the reserve.
Oh, yeah, for the reserve, the $450 reserve, which is the Chase's kind of high-end travel credit card. Now,
that's the one we were talking about before, though, wasn't it?
No, we were talking about the preferred.
I think I have the reserve.
Oh, that's a good card to have, too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That annual fee is going to be expensive next year.
Well, the sidetrack a little bit. The reserve does have a $300 annual travel reimbursement fee. So basically,
that's right.
So every year, you will get $300. Basically, it's automatic. Chase does it automatically. You'll buy an airline ticket through Chase. Next thing you know, you get $300 off because of the annual fee. Now, once you use that $300, you don't get another annual $300 fee until the next year.
But it's like a little kickback of what you pay just to have the
card. It's a little kickback. Okay. So really, you know, some people may not view it like this, but if you want, you could say the $450 fee is really $150.
Yeah. And that's worth it. That's totally worth it.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
But yeah, so if you keep on saving, I mean, there's really no limit to what you can and cannot do. This kind of thing is really cool.
Do you think if you were only going to get one card, because you're very conservative with credit cards and you just want to only take care of one, which I think is, you know, smart. If you're only going to get one and you are planning a wedding and you are, let's say, planning a honeymoon in Hawaii, hotels, flights, both, Chase, if you're only going to get one card, is it Chase that is your...
From my personal opinion, I would get the Chase Sapphire Preferred, the $95 annual fee card. Waived the first year, so that's good for planning a wedding. You don't have to worry about that. But I would get that one because you can transfer. So you can transfer the points to a whole boatload of different travel partners, and that just leaves your options open. Let's say you're not 100% sure if you're going to stay at a Hyatt or a Marriott or wherever, so you don't have to make the decision yet. You can keep those ultimate rewards points in your account until you figure out you want to stay at that hotel on the Big Island in Hawaii, and then you can transfer them to Marriott, boom, and stay for free.
What if in the time you're planning your wedding, like, If I travel a lot for work, and like I'm in Phoenix, mm-hmm. so the hub here, there's a ton of Southwest, and there's also a lot of American that flies out of the main airport.
Yeah.
So I'm spending that money for work. I should look into, or it would behoove me to look into, a airline card just to save points for a rainy day or a special trip for things I'm already buying the flight. So why not have that?
Definitely. Mine as well. I do that all the time. I have the American Airlines card, and my sister just had a nephew, a nephew of mine, and I used some points to fly up there to see it.
Yeah.
Instead of paying cash, because I didn't have the cash, so it's kind of like a rainy day thing. I was like, you know what? I want to see my newborn nephew, so bought American ticket, 25,000 miles later.
Yeah,
headed to Chicago for free.
My husband and I are, you know, saving those American points, like, because we just want to we want to go on a trip where we fully pay for the flights with the points. Like, that's the goal. I think that'll make us so happy. But you know, if I have to go to Texas because my grandma's really sick or something in the meantime, mm-hmm. and we just don't have the money right then, I think I would dip into that fund that we've been just socking money away in just to go quickly. Right. So,
and there's no right or wrong way to use points. You can use them however you want. If you want to, a lot of these banks can allow you to buy gift cards with them. So if you want to buy a gift card for someone's birthday, you can do that with the points. There's nothing wrong with doing that at all. You can use them however you want. You can use them for a rainy day fund, so you don't have to pay to fly to Dallas or fly to wherever.
Christmas shopping.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of these miles and points experts that you read, they'll like shit their pants if you tell them that you're gonna buy a gift card with that. But there's nothing wrong with that. However you want to use them, go ahead and use them.
All right. So far my big takeaways are, if you're getting married at a hotel, at a big brand property, you want to get a card that is associated with that property. You're going to get way more benefits.
You're
going to
get
way
more benefit. Yeah.
And look into honeymoon options that also match that.
That's correct. Yes. That's correct.
But if you're getting married at, you know, any other type of venue that's not big branded associated with any of these properties, these chains, these brands, the best card to get is the Chase Sapphire Preferred.
That's correct.
Got it.
Or reserve, like I have.
Keeping in mind what Michelle and I have always said on many of these episodes, which is that the bulk of your budget for wedding, the most money you're going to spend statistically, the average is on your reception. So venue fee, food, and beverage. Yep. So if those payments are coming up, and usually it's split from, you know, deposit and then balance due and then an after balance due because your guests drank more than they estimated, you know, those payments are coming up. So a card like this Chase Preferred would, you pay it with that, then pay the statement, and you're going to get the points either way. Yeah. Pay the statement because that's smart.
That's smart.
And then you're socking money away for, you know, the rest of the gifts you want to buy yourself after the wedding, or flights or hotels for a honeymoon.
That's exactly right.
So we think this could help some of you. And then you mentioned on the phone, just really quickly, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah,
I wanted to say, like, if you're, I sometimes work with couples where the honeymoon is actually more of a priority than the wedding in some ways. Like, they are going to New Zealand, or it's a trip of a lifetime. They've been together a while. They're planning this amazing trip. Maybe work backwards a little bit. Like, if you found the resort you want to stay in Bali, and it happens to be SPG, right? Or Starwood.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, work backwards from there. And then it's like, oh, and we can also book some rooms at this Marriott
down the road from our venue.
So working backwards in the goal of
paying for your dream honeymoon. Absolutely fantastic way of doing it. If you want to go somewhere for your honeymoon.
Big time. Bigly.
Bigly. Then you can, you should definitely get that credit card and then kind of work your way backwards. So have your wedding, your reception at, like you said, you know, a Marriott or a Starwood property, so you can get closer to that goal of yours.
Yeah. And if you're not going to do that, then booking the room blocks there, if you want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because some of those require you to actually pay for the rooms, which we'll talk about when we finally do an episode about this with attrition and non-attrition. So read your contracts carefully, but it is attainable to get the dream honeymoon by spending money on your wedding.
Yes.
And if any of you end up doing this, please email us and let us know, because we think that would be really cool, and we'll let Keith know.
Is there anything else, Keith, that you wanted to throw out that we haven't talked about?
No, I just want to reiterate again, this isn't for everyone. It is a great thing to do if you can do it, but don't do it if you're going to stretch yourself too thin and start getting into credit card debt. I do want to reiterate that. That's very important to me, because it's not, I don't want to make people think that it's like free money and stuff like that. You have to spend everything you spend, you should be able to pay back. And that's really it. I think we hit on everything else that we could.
Excellent. Hey, this is a good one. I really appreciate you reaching out to us and educating all of our listeners, because I mean, you know, we're just constantly thinking about all the money being spent on a wedding, but here's a way to get something out of it. So this is awesome, you guys.
And I'll include all the show notes, all the links on show notes as usual, but it's keithkingreport.com. And the book he wrote about all the credit card hacking, you can buy it as an ebook, right?
Yeah, you can buy it. It's available on Amazon as an ebook and as a paperback. Either one would do just fine. If you want to gift it, you know, the paperback, I guess, may be a little bit better. But it's available exclusively on Amazon. And you can find the link there on my website, keithkingreport.com.
Very cool. Good. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure, guys.
And Michelle, you have the phone number ready. You guys know the Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com. Instagram, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Hashtag plan that wedding. We're working on some fun stuff with that hashtag, and we put it on all of the Facebook and Instagram posts. We're on Twitter, TBWP Podcast. Facebook, TBWP Podcast, and Patreon, if you want to support us with a monthly donation to the cause of podcasting for Michelle and I, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Yes. And now if you have Alexa, you can ask her to play us, but you have to say podcast twice. Alexa, play the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
It's so cool.
It's so awesome.
I love doing that at my friend. I'm like, all right, shh, quiet.
You just make them listen to the intro and over again.
Yeah, just the intro. Especially when I've had a couple of cocktails. And you can call us and let us hear your beautiful voice at 415-723-1623. 1-800-275. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail with your questions or a little love note. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks. Bye.
You did. Christy, love you. Love your show.
I was waiting for you. I thought you forgot.
You just like said goodbye. Okay. Love you. Love your show.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.